Blog Talk Radio.
Frank, you ready?
Yeah, run that back.
All right, here we go.
Get that.
Oh, no. It's been a while since I've been up in the booth. Feels good. Feels like 98.com. Fake Rob, delay up in NYC. I see you, dog. Plugs locked up. I got you, though. Free plugs. Had to do it to him. Swipe a boy, take notes. Class about to start. Finally, got on a track with Bobby. We chilling in the penthouse while the haters in the lobby. 22 and already on a website, supposed to dismaze, but it just don't feel right. Let's take a second, take some time to appreciate the boy that led Tennessee to that elite eight. But it's still sad to stop and think about, though. We'd have cut the nets down if Austin made his free throw. But that was back then, yeah, it's in the past. Me and Maze up on his beat, taking names and kicking ass. We flying by you like a Tyler Bray pass. Ball's finna be on top, you ain't even gotta ask. We scoring all day in that checkerboard grass. Make Alshon Jeffrey look like he pumping gas. B&B ham, man, not even somewhat. Your team look as ugly as Mush Champ's butt cut. Don't get me started on that loser Mark Rick yet. He looks just like Kellen Hunt in a headset. This has been a pleasure, yeah, man, it's been great. Shout out to B Maze and feels like 98. What?
What?
PM, God's time. Fake Rob Lewis, a.k.a. Daddy Fat Sacks, a.k.a. Lucius Left Foot, a.k.a. Off in the Corner for Three, a.k.a. Roptimus Prime, a.k.a. Rob Get Buckets, a.k.a. Jerry Kane. Your host, along with Megawatt Internet Superstar, who's had an interesting week on Twitter. Trent Flubs, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Trent, it's great to hear your voice. I do want to talk about your Twitter, but first, you just got back from vacation. I know you take about 7 or 8 a year. Where did Trent Flubs and family go this time?
That's right. We are returning. We just returned from a stay at the luxurious seaside hamlet of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hope I never go back. Hope I never see the place again. I've been several times, as most people have, throughout my life, and each time it gets progressively worse. There's always somebody in the family getting in an argument. This goes back to my childhood. I remember when we used to go camping at, like, Ocean Lake Campground, and my entire family, like cousins and everything, someone would always blow up, get redneck angry, and it just hit me while I was down there this time why that is. The place is just nothing but a hassle. It's bumper-to-bumper traffic. You want to go eat. Nobody wants to go to the same place. It's just a nightmare. The place we stayed was disgusting. I'm returning a Chrysler Town & Country minivan right now to the Tri-Cities Regional Airport where I rented it from the Alamo Rental Company. That's the only good part about this trip was this minivan. I actually like it and will consider owning one myself one day.
So a ringing endorsement from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, from global traveler Trent Flubs. Trent, here we are, Nike Eve. We've got Coach Donnie Tindall scheduled to join us here in a few minutes. I'm going to have to cut you off at some point, as you know, I love to do when he dials in. But as we sit here, the day before we make the big switch to Nike, something that we've been anticipating for quite a long while. I know you like to peruse the internet for rumors and whatnot when you're not taking on the Democratic Party single-handedly, and you've seen the leaks of the alleged uniforms that will be revealed tomorrow, correct?
Yes, I have seen the pictures on the internet. I stared at them today for 10 minutes or so until my eyes glazed over, and all I could think of is, what is Butch Jones doing to the 300-plus years of football tradition at the University of Tennessee with this uniform stuff? I can't believe, I mean, is their orange and white not good enough? Where does the gray come from? Where does it come from, Jerry? Where pulled out of the sky.
Now, before we dial in here and really drill down and look at these uniforms, let's be fair. You talk about the tradition of your program, the program that you've followed for, I mean, every single year since birth. However, you cannot name the starting defensive line going into next year. Is that correct?
No, I can't. I could back in the 90s. I could in the 90s. I can't now.
Right.
Nobody knows their players now.
But isn't that kind of an – well, I mean, I think pretty much everybody listening does. Trent, as we all know, you're a special bird. That's why you're the megawatt superstar. You're the living legend. You're the greatest to ever do it. But let's just go ahead and get into it. You're a traditionalist. I don't – from what I see, it doesn't look like they did a ton different with the home orange and whites, except for that little checkerboard on the side of the pants. I assume that probably got you heated. Am I correct in that assumption?
No, let me clarify. The only thing I saw was that thing that looked like it was straight out of Dick's Sporting Goods, out of the Under Armour section, with the mountains on the helmet and the half checkerboard on one side. I mean, are professionals designing this stuff? And I have to ask one more time, somebody, I'm a 30-something-year-old man. I've been watching the University of Tennessee my entire life, before most of the millennials listening to your show were even born. Not one time from, say, 85 up until, I don't know, the Butch Jones era, was the color gray even a thought in my mind. So, I mean, where did it come from? It's completely fabricated. There is no gray in our color scheme. Anybody that says so is a liar. You can't prove that it is. I don't care what it says now in our media guide and all that stuff. There is no gray in the University of Tennessee color scheme. That's ridiculous.
Well, Flubs, you're obviously passionate about the topic. I'm not going to argue about it. It's not my job. Let's move on a little bit. Did you see the Game of Jones Photoshop or image or whatever released by Tennessee yesterday?
I did, and I think he's doing a great job in some aspects, and I think that he will produce a national champion. I really do. But he creeps me out. He creeps me out with the posing like kneeling after the South Carolina win in Neyland Stadium.
Oh, that wasn't Glenn. That was pure coincidence. Pure coincidence.
right. Does he not kind of creep you out with the propaganda just a little bit?
No, but you know, what did former years for Queegee Buddies? I'm a tweener or tweener or whatever you say. I mean, I get
you're a tween. You're a tween. Yeah,
you know that, dude. I love that stuff. I'm a sheep for propaganda. I'm a sheep for marketing. I understand the target audience, and I think you need to look no further than social networking yesterday to see A, the players retweeting it, loving it. B, the recruits retweeting it, loving it. Which, at the end of the day, we're fans. Yes, we come to the games. We pay the ticket. We sit. We cheer. We give our opinion. At the end of the day, it comes down to talent. And I don't know if what game you guys have been watching, but we've won like 15 games in like 4 years. So obviously on the field, I haven't been getting it done through the Dooley era. So you've got to get them somehow. I don't blame them at all for doing it.
That's right, Jerry. And we have to make the precious recruits happy. We have to go to such lengths as putting. And I don't want to curse on your show. We have to go to such lengths as putting a DJ with whatever you call that, a scratching record in the stands.
Stir
instead
the pearl,
of having
man.
The side
Stir
of
the pearl. You don't get more Tennessee than Stir the Pearl.
Man, he got beat out by Andy Kelly. He wasn't even a good player. You know,
I mean, Stirl the Pearl, the ones and twos. Now, if we argued Arian Foster on there, we could talk. But he got Stirl. Dude, come on, that guy's Tennessee. This is a really good time to cut you off and let you kind of sit there and stew and fester over whatever you have to say. because joining us right now, taking time out of his busy schedule, is Coach Donnie Tindall. Coach, are you there?
I am. How are you guys?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Trent Flood, say hello to Coach Donnie Tindall.
It's an honor, sir. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, you got it. You had to do it, guys. And y'all say my busy schedule. I'm not that busy. I don't have a job yet. You know what I mean?
Well, hey, you know, this is kind of cliche, but first I wanted to thank you, Coach, for the job you did do in Knoxville. You were handed the keys to a program that, and you didn't have a lot of time to really turn it around, and really didn't have a lot of time to piece together a team. You walked in with a limited roster, and like I said, minimal time given to piece that team together. And I think you look no further than social media. You know, the vaunted message boards and the call-in shows, and people immediately recognize that damn it, Donnie, you could coach some basketball. I certainly hope you still feel that love in Knoxville. I assume you do. Do you see that kind of on social networking and people reaching out to you? Because I see it all the time, I feel like.
Well, I do, and I tell you, I look back on we took the job over and we ended up signing 9 players, which is just a feat in itself. Had 2 good mm-hmm. weeks of basketball camp. We were speaking probably 100 different times within the first 4 months on the job. And so we covered a lot of ground and a lot of areas that we came together, which I know at one point we had people even wondering if we'd have enough to play 5-on-5 in practice. So we accomplished a great deal, and I think people saw how hard we as a staff were going to work and willing to work. And then the products we put on the floor in regard to, you know, a team that was picked last in a lot of publications, next to last by the SEC folks. And yet, you know, we overachieved and found a way to be 500 overall and do some good things in SEC play. So I look back on it and think we did as a program accomplish a great deal in a very short period of time, and I think the fans feel the same way. I've had a lot of people since we've been let go say, hey, we loved you and support you and thought things were going to be really exciting here in Knoxville over the next couple years.
Yeah, and absolutely. Like I said, I think everybody can see the coaching job, even from that first that first tournament. Just the style of play, the aggressiveness on both sides of the floor. That's the kind of basketball that I think maybe not the typical Tennessee basketball fan, but kind of the others that are football fans first, so to speak, at this school. They could definitely appreciate, and I think they really, really got on and supported you. Looking back on that season, Coach, what's the proudest moment of that year?
Well, you know, I think we did a lot of good things for the team that we had with the youthfulness and the lack of experience on our roster. I think a couple things probably stick out. You know, when you beat Butler at home, it was a top 15 team at the time. In history, when we went to Vanderbilt, we were down 5 with I think 11 seconds to go, and found a way to grab and claw and win that game. And then, you know, I think you got to talk about the SEC tournament where you're down probably at 9 or 11 with about 8 to go against a really good Vanderbilt team and in Nashville, basically on their home floor, and our guys went quit fighting and found a way to come back and win that game late. Those are probably a couple, 2 or 3 things that really stand out in my mind. And I think in general, you know, the guys battling, competing, I think we won our first 3 road games in SEC play, which is so, so hard to do. All those things were very fond and special memories for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about those Vanderbilt games. I don't think I think you could probably hear me screaming all the way from Columbus, Ohio, especially that one at Memorial. That was an exciting last minute and a half. Just incredible, incredible. A large part of that was Josh Richardson. You asked him to do a lot, and he certainly, in my opinion, stepped up to the plate and showed his versatility. I lived in Oklahoma City when he was recruited out of Edmond. And remember him in high school a little bit, and from what I remember from there to where he was his senior year is just a phenomenal coaching, and also shows his work ethic. He was drafted by the Heat early in the second round. I think I saw where Riley had him as high as a first-round pick on their board. Talk a little about what do you expect out of Josh Richardson the year one. Is he that quintessential draft and stash overseas for a year, a la, say, a Jordan McRae, or is he a guy you think that can come in and maybe team up with a Justice Winslow and another perimeter defender and really kind of set that defense for the Heat?
Well, you know, I don't know how all the things are going to play out in regard to who the Heat get free agent-wise and all those things that come into play at that level. But I really think Josh Richardson is the type of person, first of all, that will absorb or accept any role in which he's given. You know, if he's a guy,
right,
they always have 12 guys that dress and then two or three that work out with the team but don't dress on game night. If he's one of those guys, I know he'll accept being a great practice player and a great teammate until he gets his opportunity. If he needs to go to the D-League for a week or two or a month or two to get game minutes and really get used to that level of play, then I know he'd be willing to do that. Now, with that being said, I think he'll be ultra-competitive in camp, both summer league and in veterans camp this fall. And if there aren't too many guaranteed positions on that roster, I just think with his makeup and versatility, he's going to have a chance to make that team. I just do. That's the type of kid he is, and I've said it all year long. He can play a couple different positions now that he's proven himself at the point spot. He's a great kid. He's competitive. He's going to be on time. He's going to be great in the locker room. And all those things come into play when teams are deciding who's going to be in that 10th, 11th spot. And then if you get in one of those spots, then you got an opportunity, whether it's someone that doesn't play well or somebody gets hurt, you get your chance to prove yourself. And Josh is the type of guy that when he does get his chance, he'll be prepared and ready to go.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. Once you get that 10, 11 spot on the bench, character can take you a long way there as well.
No question.
Now, something I've really been looking forward to asking you, because it's debated a lot online, I debate it with friends. As you know, I'm sure you know, tomorrow is the big switch to Nike for the University of Tennessee. Obviously, it's a premier brand in the industry. You know, the fans are excited, players are excited. What is this? What does that mean for a coach, though? Does that, if anything, in terms of recruiting and things of that nature, does it get you in some more camps? Does it get you closer to guys, or does it matter at all?
Well, it certainly matters a little bit. You know, I want to be cautious what I say in case I ever go work for an Adidas school.
I don't want to brag.
But I do think it does make a little bit of a difference. First and foremost, young people today love the Nike brand and basketball, the Air Jordan and the LeBrons and the KDs and the Chris Pauls, all those things that come with that brand.
Right.
Football-wise, I just think you look around the country, whether it's Alabama, LSU, Georgia, the top teams, Oregon, Texas, they're wearing Nike. And I think kids really do get caught up in that. I know for a fact in our recruiting of players over the years, what type of shoes we wore was very mm-hmm. important to young people. And so I think it's an advantage in basketball. Adidas, Under Armour, and Nike are the three shoes that those companies, for lack of a better word, control or help young people make decisions. And people can hide from that, they can shy away from that, but that's reality. And a lot of the better players and young kids out there do play for Nike AAU teams, and that certainly is advantageous for a university or a program that wears Nike. That's just the bottom line.
Right. Coach, one more college question. I got a couple newcomers already in the Rocky Top League, your Admiral Schofield, guys like that. And you got, you know, Jabari McGee went down early last year. He's coming back. Dietrich Mostella has a lot to build on. What can fans expect out of a couple of those young guys?
Well, I think a guy like Jabari McGee coming off the injury, had he not been hurt for us, we would have probably won two or three additional games with him because
mm-hmm.
he was
– Agreed.
He was body ready for for that level. You know, he was physical. He's not the most skilled guy, and he's not the biggest guy for his position, but because of his toughness and physicality, he's going to be a nice, solid piece of the puzzle for Coach Barnes and that Tennessee program. And Admiral Schofield is a guy that he's got a great body as well. We told him we wanted him playing at 230, 235. I know he's overweight right now, but he's a great kid. He's ultra competitive. He's tough enough and physical enough to help right away. And plus, he can step out and shoot the ball some. And then the other kid, Shambari Phillips, we really liked him because, you know, he's kind of a Josh Richardson in that he could play two different spots. He was long. He's athletic. He can really shoot the ball. And he's a high-character kid. So, you know, there's some good young players there. And certainly Coach Barnes added a couple pieces. I don't know much about them, but I'm sure they're good players. And I do think you'll see some of those young guys have some nice numbers and some nice nights next season for Tennessee.
Coach, I want to transition a little bit to the NBA. And this is a question that probably nobody but myself is interested to know, because if you follow me on Twitter, I am a huge Denver Nuggets sheep. I lived there for a handful of years, was a huge AI fan when he was in college, and kind of followed him to Denver because I didn't have a pro team after MJ. Kenneth Faried, guy was like a one-star coming out of high school, and you turned him into, the talk of the NCAA tournament that year. Morehead had that run, and now you see what he's done in Denver. I think he probably is going to enjoy Mike Malone if he stays there, as Malone says he wants to get back to up and down the court like Melvin Hunt did after Brian Shaw left. But what did Kenneth Faried show you in high school that led you to believe he could be a guy that could kind of evolve into this player?
Well, the biggest thing is he had that motor. He played extremely hard. I was only about 180 pounds coming out of high school, and he was an offensive juggernaut, to say the least, and he still isn't. But the one thing you saw was he played extremely hard. He was, I think, 6'7", 6'6 and a half, 6'7", 182 pounds when he came to campus. By the time he left, he'd gained 50 pounds of muscle. He was up to 232. His bench press went from like 180 to 335. So he's a guy that over 4 years really grew and developed. We pushed him extremely hard, and he was very, very receptive to that. He was coachable, and that motor stayed the same. He was the guy that, if you remember watching him play, he may miss a layup, but he competed at such a high level. He'd go back and rebound it and stick it in the goal in a group of three or four defenders because he was that tough and that relentless and that competitive. And you know, I used to tell people when he was coming out, I said, this kid's a lottery pick. You need to take him. And he ended up falling and he went at 22. But I know there are a lot of teams ahead of him that tell me now, man, you were right about Kenneth. We should have taken him. And, you know, he's right there on the verge of being an all-star. He really is.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes back to the kind of the character and the motor. I think Josh Richardson has a little bit of that too. And I remember when Kenneth got to Denver, you know, everybody said, you know, raw, great rebounder, high motor, had a lot to work on in terms of, you know, his offense and things like that. And George Karl, kind of a notorious coach for making players prove themselves a bit before getting them on the floor. I remember he only got a few minutes first quarter of that season, and then he was almost forced to put him on the floor, and the rest is history, so to speak. Speaking of the NBA, though, I've seen on Twitter and wanted you to confirm. I hear you've got an opportunity in the summer league coming up.
Well, I do. It's a great opportunity. You know, Dwayne Casey, Coach Casey, is the head coach, and we have a couple very close mutual friends in Kentucky, and I reached out to Coach Casey, and he was kind enough to invite me to go with him to their summer league team, is what's called a guest coach, and it'll be an opportunity for me to sit in on their meetings and go to all their practices and probably sit behind the bench for games, and should be a great learning experience. And then my goal by the end of the summer, and I've got a few things working, is either maybe to get into the D League as a head coach or an assistant, or, you know, some capacity in the NBA, whether it's a scout or, you know, some type of an assistant coach behind the bench. So it's just a great opportunity to network, kind of learn and grow as a coach and just see how things play out as this year unfolds with the NCAA and my case there and all that that comes with it.
Excellent, excellent. That's great to hear. And if you see Masai Ujiri, tell him thanks again from a Nuggets fan for that Carmelo trade. I definitely think we've got the better end of that. Listen, Coach, I won't take much more of your time. On your way out the door, though, this is something that I try to ask every basketball guy we get on here just because I think it's great debate and it'll fire up the message boards because I always like to get a good basketball mind opinion on this. Five greatest players of all time, in your opinion, in order, who are they?
By position or simply
just best five to ever play the game, in your opinion?
Well, you know, there's going to be some people that when I leave out some of the old-timers will say, well, he didn't see this guy or that guy. But the guys I got to go with, number one, Jordan, number two, LeBron, number three, Kobe, number four, Tim Duncan, and number five, Magic Johnson.
I love you, including the big fundamental. I'm a huge Tim Duncan fan, and I think just his game's not flash, so he sometimes gets looked over. But my goodness, that guy's been putting in shifts for quite a few years now.
Yeah, and he's won. You know, the common deal with all those guys, Magic won, Duncan won, Jordan won, LeBron's won, and Kobe's won. They've all won multiple titles, and, you know, I just think that's awful important when you're a great player, you're a great player, but when you add winning championships to it, that definitely moves you up, at least in my book.
Well, Coach, listen, I can't express enough how much of a pleasure it was having you on, how much it means to us here. It feels like 98. And like I said earlier in the interview, I have absolutely little doubt that a mind like yourself would be out of coaching long. Obviously, I wish it was in Knoxville, but I just want you to know that you have a fan base here that's going to be pulling for you no matter where you end up, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say, and we enjoyed our year there, and hopefully there's better times ahead, and I appreciate your kind words and having me on. You guys have a great week.
Coach, thanks, I look forward to it, sir. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Coach Donnie Tindall. Slubs, I know you know absolutely nothing about basketball, which is why I put you on mute for the entire interview. Should you have decided to pretend like you did. But from a novice like yourself, what did you take from that? I think that's a guy that's hungry to get back in it, a guy that deserves to get back in it. He's obviously a hell of a basketball coach. What he did at Morehead hadn't been done. Southern Miss, he won. I think he showed here in limited time that like you said, he had to piece together a team, and then there were questions of whether they were going to have enough to fill a roster at a point. And I think I said it the second that everything went down. I think a bench position in the NBA, and I didn't even think about a D-League spot as a head coach. Those are two really good spots to kind of let the NCAA thing play out, stay in the game, network, learn from some of the best professionally, and then get right back in it.
Yeah, I have no idea what any of that means. He seems like a good guy, though.
Yeah, as I said, you're a special guy, Trent Flubs. Well, for the guys showing us love on Twitter that know basketball and appreciate basketball, unlike some old East Tennesseans on this podcast with me, I certainly appreciate that interview. It was very nice to do a little site like us, just trying to have some fun with it, and I thought he gave some great answers to those questions.
Thought it was a great interview, actually. I want to compliment you. I thought it was a great job you did on that.
Oh, wow. Well, now you're talking to me. You got me feeling some type of way. Listen, let's talk about the purchase habits of Trent Flubs before we get Action Jackson here on the phone. I know he's got some things to say, as per always. Is your Visa going to be out tomorrow? What is a guy, a fashionista or whatever you're called, like Trent Flubs, what are you most looking forward to apparel-wise?
I typically don't buy any clothing at retail price. I wait until it hits the secondary market in stores such as Marshall's or TJ Maxx. And typically look for your higher-end labels at those locations. But I don't wear a lot of, what would you say, athletic gear? Not really athletic gear, team gear, that type of thing. Mostly because I think the color orange looks ridiculous on most people. And the Adidas stuff, even though I'm not a brands person, I'm not into the Nike Adidas warfare, the Adidas stuff was terrible. It was absolutely just god-awful. And so I don't have a lot of gear like that. I would like a couple of nice pieces. You know, maybe tomorrow our followers can tweet at FeelsLike98 and at TripFlubs and make some recommendations for me based on the things that they're seeing.
No, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And as you know, I'm sure we'll have a running thread on the board about the latest and greatest of the release. I'm definitely going to be camped out. I got a lot of my my work for tomorrow done today, so I can be as unproductive as humanly possible from about 12:30 to 3 as I carefully select my purchases. They will come early and often, to be sure. You know, I'd love to take a bunch of calls and stuff like that, but the new father of two has two screaming ones upstairs. So I want to get Axe on here, give him his fair shake. I promised the kid I would. And I think here probably this weekend we'll follow up after we've all had a chance to digest whatever Nike throws at us and kind of go from there. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome quite a polarizing figure on the social networking platforms. A bit of a flip-flopper, if I had to say. Stephen Axon Jackson, are you there, sir?
What's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
The Axeman!
I'm doing well, buddy. I guess before I get into a few questions I had for you, what'd you think of what Coach Donnie Kimball had to say?
I thought it was a great interview by him and by both of you guys. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed his insights into what he saw in Kenneth Reed in high school and different things like that. I thought it was a great interview.
Well, now it's your turn, buddy. You're on the hot seat. And I'll ask
all
you
right.
The same question I asked Trent Flubs. You know, Flubs is an old guy. He's a get-off-my-lawn type of guy. You look no further than Twitter.com to get his takes on it, literally everything on God's green earth. Let's start with the uniforms. We've all seen the leak of, I think, the home, the aways, and then that interesting alternate, which I personally, nobody, I'm a fan of. I like them. I think they're going to look good tomorrow. I think they're going to look good on the field. I think the kids are going to like them, and that's, you know, I care about wins. I think that kind of adds up to it. What are your thoughts on the uniforms, Action Jackson?
Well, I like the new uniforms. I think they're thick, solid, and tight. I definitely spewed protein everywhere when I saw them. I think the Smoky Mountains are an egregiously cool touch on the gray helmet. I mean, at the end of the day, what you wear matters. You go to Manhattan and you get a nice suit at Brioni or Tom Ford, and you'll get some high-class female attention. Females
well,
are similar to highly ranked recruits. They want you to look good. You're scoring a 10-10-inch Tribeca while wearing Wrangler? I don't think so.
No, you're not. That's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. I think that was a pretty thorough answer on the uniforms. I think anybody who knows anything about New York City completely agrees with you. And you obviously know the ins and outs of all things New York. Let's talk about you, the man, Action Jackson. Axe, as I referred to earlier, you're polarizing. People love you. People hate you. They'll hate you, then they'll love you again. I'm guilty. I think we're all guilty. We don't know how to handle the Axe, man. You're one of a kind. Why do you suspect you're such a polarizing figure? Like, what about you makes you so special on Twitter?
I think that I'm so polarizing because I'm in the top 5% of the human population with regard to intelligence, and I'm not afraid to show it.
As you shouldn't be.
Hey, Axe.
Yeah.
This is Flubs. I just wanted to know, in this day and age, are you offended that we call you the Axe Man? And would you rather be called by some other, you know, gender fluid term like the Axe Trans or something like that?
I was told not to talk about politics on this show, so I'm just going to say I'm not offended.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I won't talk about that. Yeah, let's get back to sports.
Listen, I think we all have our opinions on politics. I don't think you have to look very far to find either of your guys. Perhaps not mine, but, I mean, hey, we're all Tennessee fans. There's no need to go down that rabbit hole. Now, wait for the offseason. Get a little bit deeper, and we probably will. Final question for Action. Action, up here in Columbus, I don't get to listen to a lot of Knoxville radio. Growing up, I listened to Basilio, so I stick there. I think he's the dean. I think he's probably the best to do it out of Knoxville. His longevity speaks to that. I think he has a fantastic sense of humor. He knows when to troll, when not to troll. He seems to play that part very, very well. What I've been hearing rumors, and I jumped on a podcast with a guy, kind of a small time dude, John. God Almighty, what's his name? John Reed. He's got a show now in Knoxville. And actually, as you know, when people pop up with new shows, I send you a text or I send you a Facebook message. And I say, hey, dude, is this something I need to know about? Do I need to dial in and check this guy out? I haven't asked you about John yet, so I figured I'd take this opportunity to do it. Does John Reed get the seal of approval, or where does he rank on your list?
Oh, absolutely. He's top. He's in the top two in Knoxville with Tony Basilio. I actually met John Reed when he was doing Young Guns with Tony Basilio.
Was he really, really bothered you? Or?
I was instantly drawn to him because he's smart.
Was he fried during that meeting?
Which is debatable. But, I mean, that's an opinion.
He can talk about anything from wrestling to cows. NBA. I mean, he's a good human being as well. We've become close via text. Absolutely. Text, Twitter, radio. I'm glad he's my platonic friend. Even if he's a communist for not liking Top Gun.
Yeah, and I think that's reciprocal. I think he's probably pretty proud as well. He gets the Axeman seal of approval. I think I'll continue to listen to him. And that what's that Liverpool sheep's name that's on there with him? The guy who knows nothing about
Mr. Tasman.
Yeah, Kyle Capri Pant Tasman. That's right. No, I'm just kidding. That's a good dude. I love those dudes. I hope they keep doing their job. Axe, do you have anything to say on the way out the door, sir?
Well, this morning, Jeff Gordon in New York City on 57th Street, a.k.a. Billionaire's Row, unveiled his retro rainbow paint scheme. He'll be riding in it at Bristol, and I will definitely be in attendance.
Now, is that in tribute to the recent events with the White House lighting up the rainbow and stuff, or is that something he's been doing for a while? Admittedly, I'm not a NASCAR guy. I've been trying to get into it. The kids have kind of handicapped me from that. I want to get into it and learn some about it because I do respect the following that it has. But is this rainbow thing new, or is this something that's been going on forever?
It has absolutely nothing to do with gay marriage. DuPont was a paint company. And they wanted to show all the colors that they made.
Got it.
Right.
Got it. No, that's fine. It just kind of seems a little.
He was driving it back in 1992 is when it started.
That's fine. Axe, on your way out the door, tell me a little bit about where you're going to live in New York City. I paint me a picture.
New York City. I would love to live on Fifth Avenue or Park Avenue at the new 432 Park Avenue. The penthouse just sold to a Saudi billionaire for $95 million, and the most expensive penthouse in the world history, is getting ready to go under contract at 220 Central Park South for $250 million to the Qatari royal family.
Wow. Well, I mean, God bless New York City. That's amazing. Axe, listen, Join us this weekend for the post Nike reveal. I know you're looking forward to it. I know your visa's out. Like I tell you all the time, dude, continue that education, and I have little doubt you'll end up in the bright lights of New York, sir. Have a good night.
You too, guys. Love you.
Go Vols.
See you, Axe. Love you.
No
too.
Homo.
All right.
Right.
Whatever these kids are saying these days. That was the Axeman, Action Jackson. Find him on Twitter, I think, under the same handle. Polarizing figure for sure. The kid loves New York. He's a good kid at heart. I'm pulling for him. Flubs, back to you. Any other thoughts about the uniforms, Butch Jones, what you hate about anything? I mean, I guess I'll open up to you. You seem to be angry on Twitter. You tweeted me today and said, tell my brothers on the board I'm just too angry to post. You seem distraught, and I want to provide you this arena to perhaps air out some of that laundry if you feel the need.
Well, I'm not going to get political, but I will say this. Even the people, I think the people that know me, take Hyde Park swag, for instance, they know, and ponytail, I can disagree with someone politically and still be very civil, friendly, jovial with those people. I don't necessarily think that always reciprocated from the other side. But I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to say things are changing a little too fast for fence clubs in the year 2015. And it doesn't help me right now that Butch Jones is vomiting all over 300 years of Bighorn's tradition. I'll be weeping tomorrow along with the ghost of Johnny Majors and John Ward as we watch this debacle take place, I guess, on UT Sports. I'm sure we're going to have some kind of production because it's, you know, it's Butch. It's what he does. I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I hate his offense. Can't stand to watch it. But I do think he's recruiting well. So I look forward to winning, but I look forward to winning with an offense I can't stand to watch. Wearing uniforms, I think, are an absolute disgrace to the university.
That, man, you need to be on medication. You really do.
I am.
I know you are. Trip Loves, where's, you said you're going to win a national title before you leave. We obviously have a couple months before we start, the pads start popping. Where's your win total at right now? I think I saw some gambling site say the over-under was like 7.5 or 8, and I saw somebody come out and say we're winning, that predicts we win 10, or we're favored in 10. Where's your basement, and where's your ceiling?
I'm trending upwards right now, actually. I believe that the program just has so much momentum and chemistry at the moment that, you know, you got to hats off to Butch for that, you know, ruin our tradition, but, you know, we got some chemistry going on. That's great. So, I mean, honestly, hats off to him. He's doing a lot of stuff right. I mean, who can deny that? I would be a fool to sit here and act like he's not. But I'm trending upwards. I like 9 wins right now, possibility of, you know, hell, I don't know. I don't think anybody's unbeatable. I don't think that we are a lock to beat anybody on their schedule, maybe except for Bowling Green and Vandy and probably Kentucky. I don't know who else would play, to be honest with you. What's keeping us from winning the East? I see nothing keeping us from winning the East. Georgia's always going to be there because Georgia's always going to have that Mark Richt talent that is.
Hey, name three players on Georgia's team.
Oh, I mean, I don't know if I can name one, honestly. Isaiah Crowell? Is he still with
me? Oh, my Lord. I think I still had hair when he was playing at Georgia. Oh, my God.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah, no, right. But they're always going to be there. They're always going to be in the mix, though, you know? They're always going to be there. Because of Mark Richt, he's never going to win anything of importance. Never going to win anything of importance. They're always going to be second place. That's just who they are, as a population, that's who they are. They're not quite fiery enough to push it over the top and demand that first place finish at Georgia. I think we win the East. There, I said it.
Bam, boom, you said it. That's a good one to go out on. Trent Flubb, join me again this weekend for the post Nike. I want to, assuming you don't have a massive coronary over the Smoky Blues or whatever we're calling those things we're trotting out tomorrow. I'm ready to ride. My beast is ready to ride. Trent Flubb, anything to say on the way out the door?
No, sir. We'll see you this weekend.
All right, let's do it. Trent Flubb, Fake Rob Lewis, feels like 98.com. We're out here.
We're going to skate to one song only.
Motherfucker like me, can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know that, don't shit phase. And as we go, 0 for 82, when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even supposed to be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm libo, to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies that don't tick tock. All the mods that's losing time, hitting behind all these big rocks. What's also hot? I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You be in Paris getting fucked up too. What's also hot? Let's get fed. faded. Live with each for like 6 days. Gold bottles, gold models, spilling ace on my 6 days. Also, her bitch behave. Just might let you meet, yay. Shot town, B-Rose, moving the next BK. Also, her motherfuckers wanna find me.
That shit great.